Kiritak on step two came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Please help me give a warm welcome to Curtis J. from Taylorsville, Kentucky. Come on in, Curtis.
Thank you so much, Miss Sunny, for inviting me to come out. Morning or afternoon now, everyone. My name is Curtis Johnson. I'm an alcoholic, and by the grace of a very loving God, the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and you folks and people like you, I haven't found it necessary to consume any form of alcohol or take any mind-altering substance since March 16, 2015. And for that, I'm grateful. And I've also learned in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous that gratitude is by far more than a word or a feeling. Gratitude has to translate itself into a rigorous action of giving back that what's been so truly and freely given to me. And if I'm not giving that back, I'm a liar and a thief, and the truth's not in me. And that's why I'm here today. And again, I want to thank you so much, Sunny, for asking me to come out and speak at the Beacon Group. And it's great to see the Zoom format still alive. I was talking with Sunny before the meeting, and I too host a Saturday evening speakers meeting that we used to have 150, 200 folks on it every Saturday night, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The West Coast gets on, the East Coast, it's a little bit different, especially if we're a little bit older at 10 o'clock. But, you know, we still do it. There might be somebody there in that room that needs us, and it just might be me. But I'm thankful for that. And let me just to validate myself a little bit more. I actually came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous in 2009, at the age of 56, completely depleted by the physical nature of alcoholism, to where, you know, you drink that half pint of the cheapest vodka you can find, throw that up, drink the pint, and do it about every 3 hours until you can't get up anymore. And your wife of over 40 years says, "Can't you just stop?" And I would say, "I'm trying." And there was no use in trying. And I was also sober from June 3rd, 1986 until August 18th, 1994, while I was under custody of the federal government. I was a famous person. I was a pilot. And I was flying things south and bringing things back north that you weren't supposed to be doing either of. But when you're working for some very organized people, I won't go into that factor of it, you can get yourself into a problem. And that's where my real disease of alcoholism really points itself too, because of the fact that it was all about money and property and prestige. I'd been married for 5 years. We had just had our own only daughter, Natalie Marie, a month and a half earlier, and I was sentenced in January 4th, 1987, down in Miami, Florida, where we had lived, my wife Tina and myself and little Natalie Marie. And I had to call my mother. My mother was out and father out in Scottsdale, Arizona. Mom had been out visiting us about a month and a half earlier when little Natalie Marie was born. But she didn't know I had been under federal indictment with a bunch of officials, head of U.S. Customs out of Port St. Louis, Lucie, Florida, bunch of politicians, everybody out there just to make money. Money, property, and prestige was really the root of my problem. And I had to call my mom. And this is important to me as I talk about step two, and this is why I'm telling you about this, folks, that my mother's response, I said, "Mom, I've got some bad news to tell you. They'd given me 2 weeks to report." They were lenient on me because of the fact that, you know, there was a lot of important people involved with this measure that was going down. And my mother stopped me in the middle of my sentence. She said, "Curtis, let me tell you something. We'll be there to support Tina and little Natalie Marie. And we're going to pray for you, but one day you're going to understand that this is all part of God's plan for you." My response at that time, being a devout Catholic even at that time, and still today, was, "Mom, that doesn't sound like a real good plan." But today it is a good plan. It's part of the plan of my life that's brought me to the moment I'm experiencing right now. My sponsor is Tim H. here from Louisville, Kentucky. I'm in Taylorsville, Kentucky, in the woods, about 35 minutes south, and it's wonderful. And I know Jim that read our thing. I've got a bunch of friends, a bunch of old timers up in Iowa that I know. And I've been given a gift. I used to like to sell BS to the BS takers, and today I give truth to the truth seekers, and that's why I'm here. And I don't think that there's a better subject in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous that needs to be discussed and lived on a daily basis for me, and it's my experience in the steps. and the importance of steps two and three. Especially step two is part of the surrender part, because we had to be willing to change, each and every one of us. You know, when we make that commitment to Alcoholics Anonymous, no one wanted to be there at that point of their life, where there was nothing else to go. I thought I knew a God, and I had no clue that God wasn't out there up there in the sky. That God resides within me and each and every one of you. As my grand sponsor, Don M., that passed away July 25th of this year, a very close friend of mine's called the divine spark within. And each and every one of us have that. And we can't get there to that divine spark unless we're willing to change our thinking, you know. And if I go back to the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, at the very beginning where Dr. Silkworth says, you know, unless this person can have an entire psychic change, also known as a spiritual awakening, there's very little chance of his recovery. Because we think about it, and most people think about, you know, recovery or alcoholism as the drinking part of it. For myself, and I believe most of you, it had very little to do with us. It was really the gift that we've been given that we must truly give away in order to understand why in the heck we're here today. And it's the gift of understanding that there's a whole lot more to life. There's a whole lot more to life today. I'm going to share something before I get started. And I knew it this morning. I've got a close friend of mine that's been in the program. Good man. He's part of my group. We have a men's retreat coming up the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of December at Mount St. Francis over at the over in New Albany, Indiana, that my sponsor started 20 years ago. And I got a text from him this morning. I didn't hear from him yesterday. And he's got a mass on his brain. He's been sober 33 years. He's 71 years old. I'll be 71 years old in January. And it just tears me up, but it also enlightens me up. You know, so much in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, as a human being, we're so busy being everywhere else other than where we are. We don't have time to understand the importance of knowing what the moment is about. The gift that we've been given in Alcoholics Anonymous, to have to go through the pain and suffering, really, of life, what life's about, and then be able to handle it. I truly believe that we've been given a gift that most human beings don't have, and I'll talk about that a little bit. But, you know, it was pretty overwhelming to me, because he's a part of my my board and has been part of this retreat for 20 years. But you know what? It's all part of what my mother said to me a long time ago that I just shared to you, all part of God's plan to me. And I really didn't understand that either. Because 4 short years into my first program of recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous, and at the age of 56, I walked away for a year and a half. I was in a big book study, and there were 24 girls from a recovery center here in Kentucky, there in Louisville here, and there were 2 old timers, and one of them said something about a drug. And our story is not about a drug; it's about alcoholism. And instead of, you know, maybe talking to the women, they effed them out of the room, which was terrible. And I walked with them. Now, was that the reason I walked away for a year and a half? I don't know, but it was all part of the plan. And it was the loneliest year and a half I ever had. It was a year and a half I had found a solution and didn't understand why I couldn't accept that other person's attitude. Today, I've learned it. I've learned it through you people. I've learned it through Don M. I've learned it through Tim and many, many of the men and women in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've had a gift to be able to share this message, and I've got many sponsors, men and women of both, and it's just a phenomenal thing to understand that the importance of the breath and the importance of being here today, you know, as we look at step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Now, I'm not sure what sanity really is. You know, I guess we were nuts, but, you know, I really think I'm still nuts sometimes, but that's okay too. Because I've learned to live life. And step two talks about that. And it talks the importance of being able to, we've got to change our way of thinking. But, you know, when we come into this program, it scares the heck out of a newcomer. I know, because I was the same thing, but I was at a point to where I was going to listen to anything. I had tried detox 3 times. My wife finally shut the door on me as I walked down to the bar to get one more drink. The last time I'd taken, I had a 0.485 alcohol limit, had drank about a quart of moonshine and a whole bunch of ant poisoning, and tried to kill myself. And God said, no, Curtis, it's not time yet. And I truly believe that this power greater than ourselves rests our lives, ourselves on time. We're the only creators of time. Man is. The spiritual world has no time. But I want to share a couple things why I think that the step two is so important, as the big book talked about it. You know, when we go back to We Agnostics, chapter four, which is so dang important, where we really look and see this, that it says, if that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. So we've got a problem, and the problem is the self. Why did I drink? Well, it was fun at first. It gave me the courage to be able to talk to the girls in high school because I was shy. I was an athlete. I don't have time to get in my story. My story's unreal. This is worse than drinking to me, folks. Once I get started, I can talk for hours. It just goes on and on and on and on. And it's the greatest gift that you can have, because this is a program of attraction. It's not what I can do. It's what you showed me what to do and what I've become a part of. And that part of, you know, we talk about getting to our knees in the morning. I'm old. I'll be 71 in January. I'm in what my sponsor calls and writes about every morning, the last quarter of life, this life on earth. But that's okay too, because I'm preparing for something greater than that. And I'm going to tell you a short story about that. My grand sponsor, Don M., 42 years sober, circuit speaker for 40 years from Louisville, Kentucky here, a wonderful man. And he went through serious cancer problems for the last time of his life, the 3 years during COVID. And I was part of that. I was close, very close to him. And I would always repeat a few things out of the big book. And he heard him and he saw it. But when probably his last three lives talks in Louisville before he passed away. And, this was a guy that talked on Zoom every day for 3 years during COVID. The circuit speakers, and I've been given an opportunity to do that too. And I get to go around the country and talk. And it's not that I'm better than anybody or anything else, but I give a story of hope. And it was the hope that you people showed me. It was the program of attraction that the second step talks about. Because you come into the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and you don't want to talk to God, you just want to stop drinking. Well, let me tell you, and the book talks about this, why is step two and three in the position they're in the book? We can get rid of the drinking. We can stop drinking, drugging, or whatever the problem is, just being a miserable person, but we will continue to be miserable. We have to begin that entrance into the spiritual world, as the big book talks about, spiritual world of love. Intolerance of all God's children, not the ones we want to pick and be around or be with. It's all God's children. You know, man has fought and killed all over this world since man was on this world from day one. Look what they're doing in the Middle East right now. You know what it's about? It's about God. They're killing each other over God. I don't see anybody on this meeting today on the Hollywood Squares that's worrying about killing anybody today. And I truly don't want to have to kill anybody today. But you know what? We've been given this opportunity because the human mind is not capable of understanding where we're at today. The normal mind. I follow a fellow by the name of Richard Rohr, and then I'm going to go back to Don. Richard Rohr is a Franciscan monk out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, that wrote a book called Breathing Underwater, 12 Spiritual Steps of Living. In 1986, when he got transferred, he created a facility called the CA Center, the Center for Action and Contemplation, down in Albuquerque, New Mexico. They had AA meetings at the parish there. And he said, I was watching these people for a couple of years, and they're out in the parking lot, you know, they're smoking cigarettes, they're having a great time, they're talking. They go into the meeting, they come back out, they're smoking cigarettes, they're talking, they're laughing, they're having a great time. And he said, this is remarkable. He didn't know anything about AA. But what he did is they would tell him, Father, why don't you come in and go to mass with, go in and go to a meeting with it. And he said, well, I can't. Your sign on the door says this is a closed meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not an alcoholic of that being. He said, no, I drink wine at homily at mass. He said, but I'm not an alcoholic. I've got some priest friends that might need to be going to that meeting. But, you know, but he said, I'm not the guy. And they said, we want you to come in. And it took only a couple of meetings to where he understood that the people upstairs in that parish, if they saw what real truth and honesty was about, their lives could change. This is a contemplative thought process, not living on the hate, not living on what's called the dualistic mind of fear, hate, and illusion. That's what the human mind is about. Most human beings don't live thinking about the good things that are going on throughout the day. We like to think about the negative. We get more off We get more understanding being negative than we do positive. I'll worry about what you're doing or he's doing or she's doing, not worrying about it being what I can be. But through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, this second step that's so important, it's the beginning of the change of the life. It's not living out there, it's living in here, to where my thinking begins to not be so much in the brain, but comes from the heart. Love, compassionate care, and concern. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness. That's a spiritual phrase that's been around a long time. And Rohr, I'm going to go back to Rohr now. So he says, I've got to see what this is about. And he finds, here he goes, Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob and all the composers and the writers of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. He said, has to have been a divine intervention. It had to have been. He said, because this has been around for centuries. No one put it into a format like we have in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's a way of living that begins at the bottom and goes up to the top. It's not like, and I have nothing against organized religion at all. I'm a devout Catholic. I love my parish. I love my church. I probably do as much work and help within that church as I do in AA, helping other people because they know who and what I am. And it's the product of being what you people have given me and what I've experienced in life. I've got friends on here. I've got a friend on here with 55 years sobriety that almost passed away during COVID. He'll tell you a story that's just unbelievable. But it's the same story that each and every one of us can tell ourselves. We had to come to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And it isn't so much that you're going to read it and write it and, okay, it's going to be okay. We have to learn to live it. And living becomes, and I said earlier in the morning that, I get up in the morning and I don't have time to get to my knees. I know I take that first breath. I thank God of my understanding for the opportunity to be alive today. I should have been shot out of the air in the jungles I've been in. I've been around the world. I've done everything you could have ever imagined. And for me, there's nothing more. And there's nothing more important than being on a meeting like this on the 24th of October, 2023, and just talking, maybe somebody, some hope that there was going to be a change in your life. Because no matter if you've been in the program one day or 50 years, you were experiencing the same thing at this moment, and it's the moment right now. We breathe in, we take in life. We breathe out, we give life. If we don't breathe in and we don't take out, we die. But, spirituality is a different thing. And Rohr talked about that. Richard Rohr went on to say, after he wrote the book, Breathing Underwater, if you ever get the chance, you can go online and find it or look at it. It's an unbelievable book from a very spiritual man. He's probably one of the greatest spiritual teachers in the world today. But he says that Alcoholics Anonymous, American-made Alcoholics Anonymous, will one day be recognized as the American gift to worldwide spirituality. And what I can share with you that, folks, that today, we've been given a gift. And I truly believe we've been handpicked by the grace of something by far greater than ourselves to be able to learn to live this way. So if you're new and you're struggling, what is here for you is what was shown to me. No one ever told me what to do in Alcoholics Anonymous. They told me, come on, Curtis, follow us. We'll show you how to get them. It's probably the greatest treasure map you could ever read. And I've looked, Sandy Beach, the old timer, talked about it all the time too. He said, we've looked and searched all our lives for this God. We drank, we drugged, and we got high, and it was fine. But went away, got high, went away, do it again. And then it wouldn't get high anymore, and we couldn't get out of it. Now they were stuck. And he said the same thing that Rohr talked about, that power within, that power greater than ourselves. Chuck Chamberlain, I'm going to use their names, they're deceased people like that, tells a story. And when I speak, I always share this story because it's important to me. Chuck tells a story about three little fish out in the ocean. He's a spiritual guy. Swimming around out in the ocean, a big fish swims up to him, looks at the little fish and goes, hey, how's your day? And they go, oh, yeah, great, great. Swimming around, it's great. Swims off from the little fish and says, how's the water? First little fish turns around, the second little fish and goes, what in the heck's water? I don't know. Turns around to the next little fish, asks that little second little fish, third little fish, you know what water is? No, I don't know either. And they continue to swim around. in the ocean and in the water, in their being, in the element of their being that they've lived in all their lives and don't even know what they're doing. When I look outside my window, or which I don't get on the TV at all, I'll watch some college football, and that's about it. And we hear what's going on. I truly believe most of those people don't have a clue. Because I believe that this through this step work, and especially step two and step three, the first has to be the surrender. We have to be willing to surrender to become aware. And awareness is the only thing that is important in my life today. And I cannot be aware yesterday, and I cannot be today from what I did yesterday. I can't be aware tomorrow. The only time I can be aware is the moment I'm experiencing right now. And this takes me into what's called a contemplative thought process. And it's pretty much all in step two. And as it goes into step three, and it talks about that same thing. I've got 9.5 minutes left. But it's the people in AA that have shown me the direction. You know, we all, and I think probably the greatest gift that I found in Alcoholics Anonymous is I near the end of this part of the life. And as I said earlier, in the spiritual world, the mystics and the spiritual teachers will tell us, you know, you don't have to wait to get to heaven, Curtis. You're already here. You haven't just experienced the next moment. Think about that a minute. You know, if you don't think that we were, you know, I have trouble talking with people for a minute when they say, I don't believe in God. And I say, well, you don't believe in God. I said, that's okay. I said, you know, you get involved with this program, you're going to end up seeing God somewhere around. Well, no, I don't believe in God. I said, I think you do. And they say, no, Curtis, I don't believe in God. I said, you have to. You just said you don't believe in it. And they look at me and they go, oh, dang, what did you just talk me into believing in God? I said, no, but I'm going to show you how to get there. It's you people that have shown me through the trials and tribulations that we go through in life. This program prepares us for darkness. And if we don't experience darkness throughout our lives, we can't find the light. And even in the scientific world, there is no total darkness. There's light within darkness. You know, so this surrender part of step two is so important because step two, you know, we fight ourselves with it. You've got, you know, you don't want, you. Most of us, many of us came from a religious background and it didn't seem to work. What is it? I forget the name of the country music guy that sings a song about, you know, when we only talk to God when we're in trouble. I mean, that's all. God help me. God help me. How about God be a part of me? You know, and I understand that that divine spark is part of my being today. And when I get up in the morning, my decision making throughout the day can evolve around what I know is the presence of a power greater than myself within me. Because that power will take you when that power wants to take you. And I truly believe that God takes people when God needs people, but it's not the people that this God's taken that he needs. It's those around the people. It's those of us this morning that heard about my friend with massive tumor on his brain. You know, he's probably, I haven't heard the synopsis or the diagnosis as of yet, but I'm prepared for it whenever it's going to be. But, you know, and I talk about my mother telling me about this God's plan for me way back in 1987. And I truly believe it today. I talk to my mom every day. I don't believe she's gone anywhere. I talk to my father. I talk to my friends. If I'm aware of that being and that presence, that they have not gone anywhere, maybe the physical part of it. But, you know, in the world of spirituality, which this program is. This is not a religion. It's a program of spirituality. It's getting closer to God. It's being and knowing that, you know, this is not the end of anything. This is the beginning of everything because we've just become aware. And it's the awareness of the presence that we had to go through the step work. We had to go through the fourths and the fifths and the sixths and the sevenths. And I truly believe I have not had one character defect taken away and never will, but I certainly know them all. But you know what the greatest part of that is? I know before I'm going to do something because I'm aware. And then we get into that 10th step where we enter the world of the spirit. And once we've entered the world of the spirit, I truly believe you are, I am, and this God is everything. I sit and look in my office. And this morning I get on an 8 o'clock meeting out of Minneapolis, Minnesota with 80, 90 guys every morning from all over the world, actually. And it's a great meeting. I'm sitting there watching the deer eat the corn I put out there, or the turkeys come by, the birds. I'm aware. I'm only aware because I don't have anywhere else to go other than right here, right now. You know, and it doesn't mean that we don't have plans or what, do what we're doing and how to do it, but it's being aware that this presence is with me. So my decision-making, when I become aware and I to believe that this power greater than myself is with me, lie a lot of times before great, bigger decisions or decisions throughout the day, I'll ask this God, God, do I go right or left? And he kind of laughs at me, goes, oh, Curtis, let me tell you, you're doing really good today. You show me how you're going to do. I said, no, God, I need some help on this one. How do I go? And God will say, nah, Curtis, you're doing really good today. You show me. Okay, Master, how do I go? And I go left and boom, I hit a wall. I go, dang it, God. And God kind of chuckles, laughs at me and says, ah, Curtis, next time go right. You'll learn. You'll eventually learn. But this is how we become better people. We have to experience it. And we have to continue this experience. And we're not saints. The big book tells us about that. But the program itself is phenomenal because this has been around for a long time. But it was people like us that had to go to a bottom, to the very bottom, that we were going to be willing where there was nowhere else to go. And I know that there's some major sobriety on this meeting today. You know, we were all at that park. And if we continue to do the right things and we continue to live and lead life this way, it gets better and better and better, even when it's tough. And that's the true part of really what this program is about. You know, I talked about Don M. and his passing July 25th. And I'm going to tell you a little story about what he said, because this has reflection right back to what step two is about. Don said for 42 years, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and this big book specifically, never lied to him one time if he followed it and took the suggestions that this book tells us what to do. For 42 years, this man said that he truly believes that everything in this big book tells us exactly what life is supposed to be about. There was something that he had missed. And I don't know about you, I can read a page in the big book or a few pages today. And if I read it tomorrow, it's going to come in a whole different way. You can memorize. See, this God, in my understanding, really doesn't care how intellectual I am. This God cares about what my heart does. And it's about care, respect, and concern for all God's children. I learned that from Don and from my sponsor, Tim H. It's giving back, because when I release myself from the ego, the self-centeredness, I'm going to be okay. I didn't think about what I was going to do to my wife or my daughter when I had to go away for 96 months in federal prison. That wasn't it. I was thinking about all the money we were going to have and live happily ever after. But I can tell you today, at almost 71 years of age, that my life is the best it's ever been in the moment that I'm experiencing right now. And it's contingent on that daily maintenance of my spiritual conditioning, the presence of the God in my life, but it's you people. And it's the people outside of these rooms that we really become the attraction to. You ever had people walk up to you and start talking to you in the grocery store? My wife sometimes will say, Curtis, who was that? I said, I don't know. I said, I got no clue. Well, what were you talking about? I said, I don't know that either. You know, but it's what's called the aura that's in it within us that makes us that way. But anyway, I'm back on page 63 in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Don, in his last couple of talks, and then back when he got on Zoom or his Zoom talks, he said, I didn't see this for 42 years. And it's important. And I'm going to read it real quick. When we sincerely took such a position, this is reference to step two, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer, being all powerful. He provided what we needed. If we kept close to him and performed his work well, established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, we began to lose fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn. The 11th step takes us there too, talking about something after this. The gift we've been given that we must truly give away in order to understand it. Don says, I don't fear death today. I really don't want to die. My wife that he'd been with for the last 30 years, but he said, but what I do know is if this book has told me the truth, for 42 years of sobriety now, I truly can't wait to see what God has waiting for me. So I'm about 22 seconds from closing. I can talk for hours. So I'm going to end it right there. And I hope that if anybody doesn't tell you that they love you today, and I don't even know you, but I do know you because you're here and you're part of this wonderful gift that we've been given in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And Miss Lorraine, thank you so much for allowing me to share for a little bit. My name is Curtis Johnson. I'm an alcoholic.